Good morning. I'm back to summer in Iowa. I'm pleased to be joined by representatives from the Iowa Tourism Office today as we highlight new discount travel deals for Iowa families to explore the state of Iowa. In Iowa, travelers spend nearly $8 billion annually. In a study conducted by the U.S. Travel Association, more than 75% of parents believe that family vacations were worth the time and money because they offer experiences their children will remember years down the road. I know that's true for my kids. Nearly half of the youth participants in the same study agreed that vacations bring their family closer together, that memorable things happen on vacations that their family will talk about even after they return home, and some of their best memories are of things that they did during family vacations. We've just passed the unofficial halfway point of the summer, the 4th of July holiday weekend. However, Iowa families still have plenty of time to travel to our state's very fine attractions. Summer travel in Iowa is important to our state's economy. The average summer day generates $32.4 million in tourism-related revenue. You don't have to travel far to get away. Iowa offers a variety of destinations perfect for families. I travel, as does the Lieutenant Governor, to all 99 counties each year, so we know firsthand all the different places that travelers can enjoy in our state. And I invite Iowans and our neighbors from neighboring states to get out and explore these wonderful places in the state of Iowa. And now I'd like to welcome Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds to the podium as she shares details of the summer travel deals from Iowa Tourism and some special plans that she has for traveling in Iowa.
Well, good morning, and thank you, Governor Branstad. Travel in our state will be even more affordable with the new Iowa Tourism Office back to summer travel deals, and many of which will be offered during August. The Iowa Tourism Office has collected nearly 70 deals and discounts from industry partners to encourage Iowans to get back to summer in August and take advantage of those additional vacation opportunities. The deals are available at traveliowa.com/deals, and some of them include not only discounted admissions and lodging to various locations, but discount coupons and buy one, get one free offers. The U.S. Travel Association study also has revealed that children who travel with grandparents on family vacations reported that they feel closer to their grandparents and they like to remember stories about what they did with their grandparents after they return home. And so Kevin and I, my husband, are going to kind of take a page out of the governor's experiences. I love hearing him tell stories about when he took many vacations with his children when they were little and he was governor before. So Kevin and I plan to take advantage of Iowa's abundant travel opportunities by going on a family vacation with our grandchildren. And we're going to start in southwest Iowa and then maybe hit some areas up in northeast Iowa also. So we plan on doing that later this month, and we look forward to really taking the grandchildren out across the state of Iowa and exploring the great opportunities that we have for vacations right here in the state of Iowa. So with that, we'll be pleased to take your questions.
Yeah, we'd like to take questions on tourism first. Well, I think it was a very reasonable compromise, and the great thing about this for families is many of them have kids involved in sports and other activities in the months of June and July. And so August is the month when most of them are going to be able to do their vacations. And now, of course, school will start the 23rd of August or later. And so we think this will be a significant benefit to Iowa families as well as to the Iowa economy. And it also appears to be something that schools are with the 100 and going from 180 days to 1,080 hours, it gives them the flexibility to be able to meet the needs that they have with regard to their school calendar. So I think it turned out to be a win-win, and I was very pleased to sign the legislation. We had a number of school kids from Indianola that were there for the bill signing. Other questions? None of you want to know about the special deals that we have. We have some tourism people here. But there are some discounts and some special deals, and I encourage you to all go online and find that out. Yep. Well, there's a lot of good deals. I will say that my son has three daughters. My son Eric and his wife have three little girls, and they belong to the Blank Park Zoo. But by belonging to the Blank Park Zoo, then you also get special deals in other zoos. And so my granddaughter, actually, they went to the Henry Dorley Zoo, but they got a special discount there because they belong to the Blank Park Zoo and go there many times. So there's all kinds of deals like that. I know Living History Farms has things like that. I served on that, the board of Living History Farms. You know, so there's a lot of opportunities all around the state. Other questions? Okay, we'll take questions on other subjects as well this morning. Well, I think the key is to grow the economy and to bring more business and jobs there. That's why I've been so aggressive in supporting things like the renewable fuel standard, which has helped bring good quality jobs to small communities around the state. But the only way that we're going to be able to keep our smaller school districts vital and successful is if we're able to attract young families that have children. No, absolutely not. I grew up, you know, in rural Iowa. Both the lieutenant governor and I went to relatively small schools, and we see the benefit of that. But we also understand that as enrollment continues to decline, you get to the point where they can't provide a quality education. And that's not fair to the kids. We want every child in Iowa to have the opportunity to get a quality education. That's why we're investing in the teacher leadership and compensation program. That's why we're focusing on early childhood education and making sure that we have resources to help kids that are falling behind in reading get up to speed before they complete third grade. And why we're rewarding teachers, people that are in the top 25% of their class that go into teaching and stay for 5 years. Yep.
Did the legislative leaders just not believe you, or were you not clear to them that you would veto this, or were they just trying to get out of session?
Well, I'm not going to try to speculate on their motives. I will just say, you know that I've been crystal clear about not using one-time money for ongoing expenses from the day that I came back as governor. I saw the disaster that occurred in the previous administration when they used one-time money. We had to dig out of a big hole because of what they did with one-time money for Medicaid and other programs. We saw 10% across the board cut in 2009 under the Culver administration. I don't want to see us go back to those bad budgeting practices, and I've made that abundantly clear. So I'm not going to speculate as to why they did what they did. I just know that this was a very contentious issue. The House and the Senate weren't able to come together. Plus, they didn't provide funding for the second year, which I thought was critically important that we provide supplemental state aid for both years of the biennium so schools would have stability and predictability and know what they could expect, not only for the coming school year, but the year after that. Well, again, we need to have stability and predictability, and I was disappointed the legislature didn't provide funding for the second year so they would know what they could expect, not only for the coming year, but the next year. We don't need to go through another year like this year where we go past the April 15th deadline without schools knowing what they're going to receive in supplemental state aid. I also am strongly committed to protecting the commitments we made to early childhood education, to the reading program, and to the teacher leadership program. And those are all receiving substantial increases in funding. No, I think it can be better, and my recommendation for next year was a 2.45% additional supplemental state aid, which is more than we recommended for this year. And that is a recommendation that I made on the second day of the legislative session, and that's something that I continue to stand by. Well, first of all, my staff made it clear that was my position. And the legislature was made abundantly clear to them that that's been my position, and it has been made crystal clear time and time again over the past 5 years. Well, as you know, I always reserve judgment on legislation until I see it in its final form. But I also try to be as clear as I can be as to what's acceptable and what isn't. And using one-time money for ongoing expenses is something that I have consistently said is a bad budgeting practice and something. And Frank, David Vowd helped us correct that and get the state into a strong financial position. The state of Iowa has received all kinds of national recognition for good fiscal management because we don't do those bad things like they do in Illinois and other states.
So were the negotiators talking past one another?
Well, I think they did all session.
Your staff and legislature, I mean, were they not communicating?
Well, at some point, I guess, the legislators decided they were going to do what they're going to do. My staff made it clear, you know, what we wanted to see done on things like anti-bullying, what we wanted to see done on things like supplemental state aid. So we made our recommendations, and we consistently communicated that. Well, first of all, you know, I respect the legislature and its process, and that we do have a split legislature and Democratic-controlled Senate, Republican-controlled House. But we also have a chief executive that has a responsibility to sign or veto all bills, and I have a commitment to the people of Iowa to make sure that what we're doing is sustainable for the long term, and that's why I came back and ran for governor, and I made it clear that I'm going to stay true to those principles that I promised the people of Iowa that I would support.
One of the things that you vetoed was language for additional correctional officers starting in the next fiscal year in light of business
state
over the weekend.
Well, first of all, let me just say that I think we were very fortunate to be able to capture the individual that escaped within less than half a day. And I want to thank people in both law enforcement, people in both Iowa and Illinois that played a key role in that. We'll be doing a full investigation of how this happened and why this individual was able to escape. This is the first prison escape I think we've had at Fort Madison since 2005, but we take these responsibilities very seriously. But I don't think it was because of lack of staff that this happened.
So why did?
Well, that's why it's going to be investigated.
Well, but said you know that it's not because of the lack of staff.
Well, there's plenty of staff, and the staff did in fact view this unit, I think, several times during the night. But this individual was in the John Bennett unit, which is actually designed as a medical unit. It's not part of the old prison. It was an addition that was built about 10 years ago, I think, consequently. So it's not, but we need to get all of the information, and this is an individual that I think was pretty ingenious in what he came up with. I guess most prison escapes are, but it's stupid, absolutely stupid, when you're on a 10-year sentence to escape prison. You like end up either being dead or serving a lot longer period of time. So prison escapes are not smart things to do. Well, first of all, we want to make sure that it's safe for both the people that are the inmates as well as for the staff. And I'm told that later this summer, early fall, they intend to be making the move to the new facility at Fort Madison.
Have you ordered any additional security at this medical facility in the
wake of this? As I said, the Department of Corrections is going to do a total review of the circumstances and get the details as to how this individual was able to escape. From what I've heard, I mean, what he did is he had like 67 feet of bed sheets that he used as kind of a rope, which is an unbelievable amount, and that he also crawled through a very narrow area that's supposed to be too small for a person to crawl through. So all of these things are going to be reviewed and determined how this happened, and certainly we want to prevent this kind of thing from happening again. But the point I would make is it didn't do him any good. Instead of serving 10 years, he's going to serve a longer period of time now. And, you know, prison escapes usually are foolhardy things. We saw what happened in New York, and, you know, we certainly are not aware of any staff involvement in this whatsoever. But it'll be carefully reviewed to determine as much and everything we can.
Go back to the school funding. Now that everybody knows what you've done with this, looking ahead to the fall, can you say that Iowa schools will be better now with this financial plan?
Well, the uncertainty that they went through this spring has created a lot of turmoil and a lot of problems. And what I don't want to see is that repeated again next year. And that's the reason why I consistently said the legislature before they adjourned needed to approve funding for the next fiscal year, which is, by the way, required by law. And so that's unfortunate. And so schools are faced with that uncertainty. They know what they're going to get for this coming fiscal year. They don't know what it's going to be the next year. And they have the uncertainty of the fact that the legislature wasn't able to reach agreement on this until the closing hours of this last session. We don't need to see a repeat of that.
Okay, but that's already done and not taking action on it for this fall, now that they know they're going to get this 1.25. Are you saying that they will be better off or not better off? Because they're saying they're going to have to make cuts.
Well, it depends upon your circumstances. This year, two-thirds of the students of Iowa will benefit from the Teacher Leadership and Compensation Program. That's $100 million of additional money on top of the money they're getting for the supplemental state aid. Plus, we are focusing on early reading in pre-K through third grade, and providing through the Reading Resource Center assistance there, and the Lieutenant Governor have already visited summer schools.
Yeah.
And we anticipate more of that in the future. And we want to make sure that the summer schools are quality and they're focused on the kids that really need the help to catch up in their reading so that they're up to speed by the time they enter third grade. I mean, by the time they leave third grade. So our focus is on improving the quality of education for all Iowa kids. And next year, the year after, the school year after this, every school district in Iowa will be eligible for this teacher leadership and compensation money, and that's another $50 million. So that's a commitment we made in 2013. Our new director of education, Ryan Wise, has been involved in the implementation of that. We have visited schools that are involved in that. There's a tremendous amount of enthusiasm about the opportunity for collaboration and teachers being given more responsibility, and I think we'll see improvement in student achievement as a result of those investments. Well, I would just point out that what we looked at is it's a bad budgeting practice, and we don't want to get into that. Plus, you just don't want to be using one-time money for ongoing expenses. And most of the costs for K through 12 education are teacher salaries and other salaries for other staff people. Well, I would point out that we, in 2013, passed a major mental health redesign, and the counties have come together in regions to provide better services. And our focus is on delivering services in the best and most efficient way possible to meet the mental health needs of the people of Iowa. We'll continue to look at what's the best way to do that. But I would also say that I intend to appoint a task force that will look at Mount Pleasant and Clarinda and how we can work with the communities to market the facilities that are available there. I would also, and that will include people from corrections, and there is a substantial amount of corrections that continues to be delivered on those campuses. Clarinda also has the Clarinda Academy on that campus, and we're going to continue to look at how we can work with the communities and find what kind of alternative uses there might be for those facilities.
Economic development and DHS.
Economic development and
DHS.
Right, so we'll have the Department of Human Services, Corrections, and Economic Development all involved in that task force. Well, again, I think you've got to look at each one in their unique circumstances and who they're serving and what their mission is. And, you know, so we're not making any judgment on that, but we're going to continue to look at how we can not continue the 18th century approach that was approved by the legislature back, you know, before the turn of the century, but instead look at what is the best way. And looking at how we best deliver the services, not where we deliver the services, so that we meet the needs of the people of Iowa that have mental health issues. That, I think, is the modern approach towards dealing with it. Right. Well, first of all, I think we can be proud of the fact we've had 2 years in a row, which is unprecedented, of no increase in tuition. And the regents have assured me that there won't be an increase in the coming semester. Had the legislature approved the budget that I recommended instead of one-time money, I think the regents had indicated they would be able to have both semesters with no increase. So we'll see. It's up to the regents to decide with the resources they have. But again, one-time money is not the way to go. It needs to be assurance so that higher education as well as K through 12 has stability and predictability in their funding. Well, there was a lot of communications, but you do have some big philosophical differences between the different branches of the legislature and the different houses of the legislature, and obviously we didn't agree with everything that they ended up coming together on. But, you know, that's kind of normal. We've had some years like 2013 where everything came together, yep, and we got education reform, property tax relief, and our Iowa Health and Wellness Plan. So we've had some very successful sessions. It's certainly much different than it is in Washington, D.C., and than it is in a lot of other states, even states like Illinois, which for a long time had the governor and legislature of the same party. But you see the challenge they have, and that's not unusual to have these kinds of differences. And we need to continue to work together to try to find a way to overcome those, but make sure that what we're doing is sustainable for the long term.
But that big philosophical difference also was between the legislative branch, at least part of it, and the governor's office.
Well, as I said, there was a big philosophical difference between the House and the Senate. To resolve their differences, they came up with a plan that didn't meet some of the concerns that we have about using one-time money for ongoing expenses. Yes, but again, that's a legislative determination. So, you know, I didn't try to get into the details of the legislative determination, but I did make it pretty clear. Not pretty clear, I think, crystal clear what my position was on using one-time money for ongoing expense or taking money from one fiscal year and spending it in another fiscal year. Those are not, they're not good budgeting practices, and they're the kinds of things that got the state in trouble in the past. I want to make sure we don't go back into those bad practices of the past that led to across-the-board cuts and to the instability and uncertainty that schools and government, local governments faced. Obviously, I think every grandchild wants to see that their child gets the best opportunities. I'm really blessed. I think that have grandchildren that, you know, they're just beginning the process. My oldest granddaughter is you know, going into fourth grade, so most of them are just kind of beginning, but I want to make sure that they have the best education. I think that the kind of investments we're making in teacher leadership and compensation system, and also in school choice, because my kids, most of them are going to Catholic schools, although my my daughter is a teacher. Her oldest daughter is going to be open enrolling in Waukee school system in the same building that she's teaching in. So she'll be in the kindergarten.
To follow up on the gridlock question, I think looking ahead is the question here. So you and your staff don't want to use one-time money to fund ongoing expenses. House Republicans don't want to use the ending balance. Senate Democrats think more money needs to be put into education. How do those three things in the future come together for everyone's happy, including schools?
Well, the key is to grow the Iowa economy and bring more business and jobs here and higher income to the state. I think goes a long ways towards reducing those problems. That's why I've been so aggressive about the renewable fuel standard and the fact that Iowa's been hurt. We've been hurt badly by the administration's reducing the the target for renewable fuels, and that restoring a robust renewable fuel standard could bring up farm income and make it possible for our ethanol and biodiesel plants to expand and create more jobs, those kinds of things, plus attracting more good business and jobs to the state, as we've been working on consistently since we came back into office. All those are the kinds of things that will help resolve, I think, some of these issues. And I would also point out, as you look into our budget, and David Roeder has shown me the five-year projections, this coming year was probably the tightest budget year because of the commitments we made to teacher leadership and to property tax relief. But as you look in the outer years, it's the situation is better, provided the economy grows. If who knows what this Greece thing is going to do? There's a country that's deep in debt, that's not willing to face reality, and the result is the whole world, not just the European Union, but the whole world is going to feel it. And certainly that's an example of what not to do.
Governor, what do you say to the Democrats who dog you about, well, just to print more money for Horace Gum, and then, well, you've explained why you don't want the one-time money, you're knocking out money for schools, but it's okay to give them?
We're not giving them a dime. What we're doing, this is the point that is just unbelievable to me. They are not getting any money from the state. What the state of Iowa agreed to do is that they would choose to locate in Iowa rather than another state, we wouldn't tax them quite as much. We're still going to get more revenue in both income tax and property tax than we would have gotten had they chosen Illinois or another state. So we're not spending anything there. We are getting some really good quality jobs. We're going to see substantial reduction in the cost of raising corn, which we are the leading corn-producing state. So it benefits farmers and reduces their input costs. So this is something that Site Selection magazine said was the second best economic development project in the world. And they miss, you know, they misstate the reality. We've never written them a check. And in fact, the Fort Madison School District is getting a substantial increase in property taxes because of the fact they chose to locate in their district.
Yeah. Lieutenant Governor, are you in support of the governor's signature on the bill, which essentially creates new hurdles for the proposed water revenue?
Well, as I indicated last week, what we're going to continue to do is to balance the property owner rights and individual rights with a community that needs water. And so the governor and I are committed to working with not only Clark County, but all of Southwest Iowa to help them find a solution to their need for water, not only to sustain what they have right now, but we talk about the growing the economy and bringing young people to our communities. Well, water is a significant piece of that. And so we're going to continue to balance the needs of both, and we're going to work with them and hopefully find a solution to the problem. Well, we're going to continue to work with that community, and we're going to do everything we can to meet the need. The need for water is not going to go away, and we've committed to them that we will sit down and work with them to find a solution to provide the water so that they can not only sustain what they have, but they can continue to grow. And that's going to be an issue that's important for all of Iowa, not just Clark County, not just Southwest Iowa. What's the place up in Northwest Iowa? The Lewis and Clark,
right.
That's another area.
Whole Iowa, Lewis and Clark.
That's struggling with water need, and we're trying to find a solution for them. So that's my community. I live in that community, and we're committed to finding a solution for that.
Thank you, Governor. Thanks for
taking over. Okay. Thank you.